by this time I was beat.
Is your light out there today, for your record? You guys need to be coming up to the table here or something.
We've already tried. He's hiding.
I'll sit back there, you sit up here. We need a longer table or something. I don't know, something.
Would you have another case, Bill? You have another case tonight?
Hey, Bill. Bill, did Deb say whether Billy Weisgerber was coming?
Probably was.
Okay, all right. Hi there, how are you?
Okay, it's 1:30. We do have a quorum. I call the meeting to order, the planning commission. First of all, welcome guests. We have two guests and Paul, right? Paul's not a guest either.
Yeah, church.
Approval of the minutes in your packet. Everybody has a copy of those. Any questions or concerns about the minutes?
I make a motion they be approved.
I have a motion, I have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
So moved, Bill. All right, moving on to report from officer. Jeff, do you have anything this month?
No.
Tim?
No, sir.
Jim, you have anything besides SERP? Jeff, you have anything?
One thing's get too sticky over here.
Troy, you have anything?
No.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good deal. Unfinished business. We have anything we need to talk about in this area?
No, but you, well, one thing. The one thing you'll notice in there is the public notice and amendment request for the Tier Mapping Corporation. I had said last time that was going to happen October, but now it's scheduled for November 7th. There's some public hearing and notification and advertisement requirements that we had to meet. So we pushed it back to November to make sure we met all those requirements. The tier map amendment, we are required by law by the end of the year to incorporate tier map, our tier map into our comprehensive plan. So that's what that was. Okay. No, it's not that one.
Okay, we're moving on up. New business. Don't need appeals cases, Bill. We got that right away.
Okay. Yes. The first one is SC447. An application submitted by Lisa M. Jan for the expansion of an existing restaurant. The property is located at 145 Bumblebee Road, tax map 42, parcel 292, and it's zoned town residential. There's a copy of the plat there showing the expansion and the parking plans on the back. I just considered that it was available.
You were able to get enough parking, right?
Oh, yes, yes. Based on seating, they meet the required parking. Bob Bounds and Lisa are here to answer any questions you might have.
One of the questions I have was pertaining to the water. Are you guys working on that problem?
To the best of my knowledge, as of now, the county is going to extend the water line over to Bumblebee Road to aid the college, who is putting a big addition on. And they thought they already had water there, and it turned out to be the sewer line. So they're going to extend the water line from Mosser Road over to Bumblebee Road, which enables Lisa's restaurant and Hugh Humble, who need water available to develop the 11 acres behind the restaurant. And as of 2 weeks ago, I was told it's a pretty certain thing that they'll have it done this fall. That's what it was told me.
Well, I mean, they'll have it done in the spring, right, Jim?
I need to check on that, because there is water on public water on Bumblebee Road. They ran it there when they went to the business park.
It starts at Deep Creek Dock Works and goes...
Goes the other way.
Okay.
It goes on Mosser Road, up past the college, up past the dormitory.
Right.
Then crosses over to Bumblebee and goes up Bumblebee towards the animal shelter and airport. But there's none on Bumblebee Road where we need it.
Yeah, it comes up Fairgrounds, up that side of the road. Fairgrounds tapped on, Double G tapped on. And it went up and went across the road above them, and then...
That's a 450-foot line that they're going to put in from Mosser over to Bumblebee.
And they told you that they plan to do the work this fall?
They said they saw no reason why they can't get it done. It's been one of the things that hindsight had been dropped. They ran the sewer line and forgot. It had been easier to run water and sewer at the same time, and they only ran the sewer line, because the restaurant used to be the last end of the sewer line. Mm-hmm. And then they extended the sewer line on up past the college on Bumblebee.
So when do you plan to have the restaurant open? Do you have a date yet?
Weather permitting, May, April, May, depending on the weather. They're falling for a severe winter with colder than normal temperatures and more snowfall than average, so.
I don't want to hear that. I'll call, when I get out there, I'll call Jay Moyer and follow up on that to make sure that. I haven't heard him say anything about it, so I'll check on it.
Okay.
I mean, is it going to be a requirement? You have to sprinkle the addition? Is that what?
Yeah, I'm with Brewster, breaker company out in Morgantown. And, you know, if all else fails, it'll require a 100,000-gallon storage tank and an $80,000
fire pump,
diesel pump, generator, etc., to pump 100 gallons a minute at 100 pounds pressure.
Yeah, I have the same thing at a movie theater. They're used to until they get down water, but. Okay, any other questions?
Has the actual plans for the building been reviewed by the county, Bill?
It's in the stage of being reviewed.
Okay.
So how many seats will there be in the restaurant when you're with this expansion?
175. Give me a little bit of slack because the papers are out in my truck. I didn't think
no,
I needed to bring anything in.
I'm just curious.
It's ballpark. It 177, and 10 full-time employees, a total of 64 parking places. It's at the bottom of the site survey.
Okay, thanks.
I couldn't remember it.
No, that's all, I'm just trying to get a word of magnitude. You should check with Kim over at Economic Development Office, because there is a tax credit that I think you'll be eligible for improvements to the property.
Uh-huh.
It's a 5-year tax credit. I think that gives you 50% discount on the taxes on the improved value of the property. So it could be pretty significant based on the scope of the project.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Concerns? Bill, we need to take a vote on this.
Mrs. Jim would like to have a recommendation of approval from the Plan Commission, if possible. Or
Tony, I make a motion that we recommend approval of this application.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? I will not be able to vote on this because I have done work for her in the past. So, anybody in all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Unanimous? Good to go. Okay, moving on up, Bill, to the next one.
Okay, the next case is BR 758. It's an application submitted by Mary E. Schneider for a variance to allow an addition to a single-family residence to within a half a foot of the side property line. This property is at 3355 Lakeshore Drive, tax map 50, parcel 178, and it's in the LR1 zone. Anybody have a plat of that? I have a few of those available here. There's an old right-of-way that runs down alongside this property. They used to own, and it was taken by adverse possession. So their problem is
everybody. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Kay.
The problem is they would like to expand that way onto their existing home, and in order to do that, they need a variance for an addition and a garage.
So they're positioned on there through no fault of their own, right, Bill?
Yes. That's the case they'll make. They have to show hardship or practical difficulty to the board.
Any comments on this? Bill, do you see anything you want to say? Or?
What is it? 20? It's 26.26 feet off now.
Let me see.
Print is small for me.
Yeah, I have a larger one. Yes, it's. They're showing. Yeah, they're 26.26 existing.
So the structure behind it, is that part of the proposed addition?
Like, yes. Yeah, I have the full plans. But yeah,
you know what
there's
I'm talking about?
The garage in the front and then an addition in the back all the way across the back.
Okay, so that's part of the proposed addition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is an addition that they're wanting to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's one we need to leave to the boys at the plan here, the learning appeal.
Yeah, that would be a fun one.
The adverse possession was the state?
No, it was a property owner nearby who said now that he's not opposed to this, supposedly. I haven't seen a letter in writing, but they're contending that the person that now owns the right-of-way isn't opposing this.
It's not opposing.
Right.
So was that part of their property originally?
That's what they're
thought.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I see.
You say adverse possession. Was this basically used for an access road for a number of years and therefore gained status?
apparently the Schneiders had access to that property and was owner of it, but somehow they lost it through adverse possession, is what I've been told.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to find out. You don't know what that process for the adverse possession was.
Well, there's a deed that accompanies that, and they have that cited here, but you know, that'll all come out in the hearing. But adverse possession is usually pretty hard to get.
That's what I think, yeah.
I don't know how they hostile.
Mm-hmm, has to be hostile and open, notorious.
I think you're right, Tony, we'll leave this one.
Yeah, I think if somebody has something to say, we'll leave it to the boys. Moving on, next one, Bill.
And the third and final one is GR 759. It's an application submitted by Edward and Elizabeth Haley for a variance to allow an addition to a single-family residence within 24 feet of the rear property line. This one is at 57 Upper Penn Point Drive, tax map 66, parcel 119. And here are some Haley plats. Close, but a garage can go within five. But the addition itself, normal setback is 40 feet. But you can see the lot is kind of shallow. I don't know. This will also be an interesting case for the board.
Any concerns about this one? Moving on to the next one. Sending it on back to the...
Yeah, that's all the cases.
Yep. Oh, yes.
And
okay.
Held the 20th in this room.
Discussion comprehensive plan update options.
Okey-doke, that's me. We'll start with a little background. November of last year, I came to you and I said, our 10-year review has been pushed back. MDTP guidelines now give us till 2023. They don't expect anything till then. We have till now to get the comprehensive plan review done. Last November, you decided to wait 1 year, which means it comes back at the next meeting. Largely, you did that because of the fracking issue. There was a lot of unknowns at the time. At this point, we do have draft regulations out from MDE, but there's also a push for a push for a ban in the General Assembly. So General Assembly starts in January, probably known in March. It's at this point, we'll know whether there's going to be a ban or a moratorium or something probably before we get to the end of our process, surely, so it should be okay to go ahead and start something. Last time, questions did arise as to the extent of the update that you might want to do. Do you have to do a big, long process, that sort of thing? So what I'm trying to do today is give you some sort of framework. Go ahead and pass them out for your discussion next month. So that you know you'll be prepared to make some decisions next month and you'll know what exactly you need to decide. Yes. Oh, did we miss you? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Paul, do you want one? Okay. All right, so first of all, the first thing that I need to say is that the law states that you must review this document every 10 years, a little light reading. If you don't have this document, please let me know. Follow me after the meeting and I'll get you one. It's also online. It does not say, though, that you have to update it. It says you have to review it. So That's what you're mandated to do. You'll see on the left-hand side of your process paper that I handed out, that is what you need to be prepared to discuss next month. The right-hand side provides some options. So looking at the top is what you want to do for review, and I've given you two options. You can do Planning Commission review. So you go home over the next month, you read the document, you come back, and you say, this is the type of update I want to do. So that gives you that option. Now, number two is an extended review, and that can take two forms. You can say, I can't get this done in a month. I think everybody needs 3 months or 6 months or whatever it is you decide. Then we'll come back and we'll decide what type of review or update we want to do. Another option for extended review is to review it together. Instead of individually and come back and make a decision, you can review it perhaps chapter by chapter at your meetings. Now, there are advantages and disadvantages of doing that. An advantage is that it's less intensive for you individually, especially compared to the, you know, get it all read and make a decision in a month.
And some professional guidance.
Yeah. There's also the opportunity for more public input. So if you do it during the meeting and you have public here, they have the opportunity to have some input in what they think needs or might need or might not need changed in that chapter. It also, at the end of it, will give you the opportunity to create a set of data to, if you need a contractor to update it at the end of it, you'll have a lot of public input already, and you can just hand that off. Theoretically, I'm not a consultant, but I would think if we hand them a lot of public input going into it, then the cost of it will go down. But that's probably wishful thinking on my part. The disadvantage is that slows everything down. There's 12 chapters in the comprehensive plan. The first one and the last one probably don't need reviewed because the first one's an introduction and the last one's implementation, which basically takes all the policy recommendations from all the chapters and puts it all in one and then assigns an agency who's responsible for it and a timeline to get it done. So it's really kind of a repeat of what's in the other chapters. Not saying you can't go through it if you want to, but so really you're looking at 10 chapters. If you do one a month, you've got 10 months to get it done. And but realistically, a couple of those chapters are pretty big and intense, and you might need to break them out. The land use chapter, for example, is pretty big. So you might want to do a couple months for that one. So those are your options as far as review. Do it yourselves, do it all together. So that's one thing that you want to think about over the next month about what you might want to do.
Debbie?
Yes.
A slight variation or compromise between those two.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be more efficient if we were to each go through the whole document ourselves, mm-hmm. then get together and take it up chapter by chapter, and are there any outstanding questions on this chapter? If there are, we can discuss those as a group. Now we move on to the next one and speed things up a bit.
That's an option. That's an option.
What I was thinking.
Pardon?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's certainly an option. Let me take a note of that.
Like maybe next month we can get like a heads up what people are concerned about or public concerns.
Okay.
Good bedtime reading.
It is. It's light reading, isn't it? So, going through your update options. So, your next thing, because I'm a map lady, I made you a map. What you're looking at here, or will be momentarily, is a map of Maryland, obviously, that shows you the comprehensive plans for all the counties in the state, what their year is, and what type of update they have done. So the first option, which I didn't list here, is no change. Like I said, you have to review it, but you can review it, get to the end, and say, you know, it really doesn't need anything. That's always an option. You'll note that No county has done that before, but it is always an option. And I personally don't recommend that just because the projections in the last one were based on mid-2000 numbers, and it was a rising trend, and now we're looking at a flat line, and it's, if you're looking at population, it's a declining trend now, and so your policies might be radically different based on different trends. The other thing is, with the advent of the tier map, that really supersedes a lot of your policies on land preservation. So, for example, what's the purpose of a minimum lot size in an ag resource area if you can only get 7 lots anyway? Isn't it better to allow them to have 1 acre because it leaves more acreage left in the parent tract rather than split it up all evenly and you end up with, example, 700 acre tract, you are allowed 7, so you make 7 100 acre tracts. Is that better or worse for retaining ag land as opposed to letting them do 1 acre and then you've got a 693 potentially acre parent tract and 7 1 acre lots? So those are the types of discussions that really should be had. The land use chapter is chapter 3. It also has the mapping in it. So, you know, if you want to change the map to be more consistent with the tier map, that's another thing to think about. So I wouldn't recommend no change at all, because those are kind of major things that you might want to talk about.
You want to kind of come up with a wish list that you wanted to, that needs to be reviewed in your mind?
I can do that. I can do that. But these things are probably come up during your review. The other thing with Chapter 3 is that there has been a call lately for countywide zoning again, so the public will probably bring that up. So that'll be another thing on your plate to consider. So no change is one option. The second one is partial. You'll notice that one county did that. And basically what they did, so they had a 2004 comprehensive plan. In 2010, they reviewed it. They made a resolution that said, all chapters stand except for Chapter 1, and we're rewriting Chapter 1. So that's an option. Another one, there's quite a few that did amendments, and you'll see that a lot of times there's 1996 comprehensive plans out there on the Eastern Shore, but what they've done is at later dates they have amended. And what that means, you review and you don't change anything in your comprehensive plan, but you add an element or a chapter. So that's what an amendment is. Next is full. That's a complete rewrite. That's at the outset you decide, okay, we want to do a complete visioning. We might want to reformat the document if it's necessary. That is what we did last time, and it's what most counties have done. But it is a lot more labor intensive. The last one I put on there, just because it is an option, Montgomery County does it. It is called sectional. Montgomery County divides their county into sectors, and they do a comprehensive plan for every sector, and it rotates. So basically, you're in a never-ending comprehensive plan cycle. For us, it would be done by watershed. We've never done it that way. What we do is we break out the watersheds in the land use chapter. It's one of the reasons why it's bigger than all the others. But we don't do a separate plan for every watershed. I put it out there, and I promise you, if somebody feels strongly they want to do that, I won't throw anything at you, but it's...
Be tempted to.
I would probably be tempted to, yes. But it is an option, so I put it out there. All right, so the next thing on your list you'll see is that the whatever you choose in your update option will dictate your need for a contractor. Obviously, if there's no change, you don't need one. I would recommend one for the partial or the amendment, and obviously for the full, but the scope of work that is needed will be determined on if you say, you know, we want to do one chapter or two chapters or just add an element, or if you want to do the whole thing. It'll also determine the complexity of the project and how long it's going to take you to do. Luckily for you, though, you have till 2023. So one of these counties, I can't remember which one, took 5 years to do their comprehensive plan. It took us 2 last time, but last time we were under a 6-year review cycle, And now you've got a really large window, so it's up to you guys. The other things you need to think about is when you want to get started and also your public participation plan. Law dictates that you have to have a public hearing before you send your recommendation to the commissioners. That's all it requires, but the ethics of planning dictate more than that. And we have traditionally done a lot more than that. Those of you involved with the last one will remember the workshops and the charrette and the public hearings in the evening and the weekends and all the different things that we did. This time around, obviously, websites, social media, you can use all kinds of options and, so start thinking about those kinds of things. Of course, all of that will be dictated by the option you choose.
I can't remember. Did you budget for contractor services for this in this year's budget?
Not this year's budget. Well, I did attempt to. I don't think it was this year, the year before. But upcoming, I'll have to put it in the budget.
So there's no money in the budget right now?
Not this year. No, not this fiscal year.
So you're talking 1 July?
July 1. Yeah. Doesn't prohibit us from beginning the process, but we won't be able to pay anyone till after July 1.
Does the
if the budget is approved.
Does the state help, for 18?
For 18.
Well, yeah, that's all. Yeah, for now. But does the state help? Does the state provide funds to help pay for this?
No.
Any discussion on this point?
So I guess for planning purposes, then, I mean, the earliest we could plan on having a contractor involved would be the
July 1
next year. So whatever we do, if it can get us to that point by the 1st of July, that would.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of legwork you can do ahead of time. You have to review first, obviously, however long that takes you to do. And, you can do some basic work that wouldn't require the contractor.
And what's your, as a staff proponent of this, what's your gut feeling about how big a task this is going to be?
It depends on the complexity. I think we can do a partial. And that would really limit the complexity of it. So if we do need a contractor, it'll be less work.
Well, I'm not suggesting that we ought to do something less than the optimum or best solution over the money. I'm just curious. I just want to get your opinion about how big an effort this is going
right.
to be.
If you do a full rewrite, it's going to be probably at least $100,000.
Anything else? Paul, do you have anything?
The only thought I had was probably going to need to do an update on growth projections.
Yeah.
They're way off. As Deb said, they were done at the time and things were really boring. The other thing is, I think partial is a good approach. Maybe one or two issues that are going to consume a lot of your time, fracking being one, and perhaps the deep discussion on the deep creek.
Well, the fracking thing, I mean, if the legislature passes a ban, then that's not a problem for us.
Yeah, that plan gets about that
thing. Yeah.
Well, even with the proposed regulations, we're going to have to be here from just a little bit that I can do. So if you're not going to be there for fracking anyways, I don't know how you could expand on that on the thing very well.
Yeah, I was trying to think of what the issues are. It was those, because we do have a separate chapter for Deep Creek Watershed. We do have the Watershed Management Plan now, but also the countywide zoning. I can't think of too many others that would, unless you've been hearing other things.
No. We wouldn't. I mean, the big things around the lake right now that I'm aware of are fracking and subaquatic vegetation.
That wouldn't be generally in there. I mean, we have the Watershed Management Plan that mentions that.
Yeah, I mean,
And the other issue around here now that I'm aware of is significant is availability of water to for growth.
That's one of the things in the plan that supposed to be a little better by now.
Water resources.
Water and sewer, yeah.
Yeah, that's a separate chapter.
That's the kind of, we had a meeting the other day with some PATH members, chairs of the chamber, and we talked about just this kind of thing. What, I mean, I don't want to say this to be smart. I'm not a big fan of the plan. I'm just telling you what I think, because I think it's a book that is, we need to be in real time. I keep saying that, real time. I think it could be done a lot more streamlined, in my opinion. But I don't know what that answer is. I mean, the state makes you do certain things, and this is one of the things they make you do. Now, if there's some way you could, you know, surely to goodness, there's some way to say, okay, every year we bounce, okay, we know we can only do 50 lots, and we did 50, so we dropped back to where you're in real time instead of thinking 10, 30 years out, because that's changed a lot. You know what I mean? That's not the same way it used to be. I mean, 30 years ago, you had a brighter future looking out. Now, what we're up against now is a little bit different, and I think should be done quicker. That's just my opinion. But I don't know how you do it any quicker, because it's a pretty dry document.
It is, Tony, but you know, you said you're not a big fan of it, but on the other hand, that is the basis then for all your ordinances.
Oh, I understand it.
Yeah.
Because not having the count, right, I understand it. And that's the most important. And I don't want to say I'm not a fan. I'm just saying I'm not a fan of the format of it. I'd like to find a way to do it a more streamlined, up to date, quicker fashion than 2 year process. Right. And that 2 year process, things have changed. And the last time we did it, things have changed from the 6 year process until we finally get a document. And this is a reality that we live in our government, you know, in certain committees and stuff that we meet once a month. You know what I mean? And so you're trying to do everything in the month. So next month comes, so you get back and rehash what you did last month. So now you're another month out. So what I'm saying is we're going to be 3 years doing this process probably, wouldn't you think? If we hire a contractor.
Well, the last time we hired a contractor, it took 2 years.
Right. So. But
you were.
And it was a full rewrite.
Right.
And we had lots of public meetings.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, all I'm saying is, I wish there was some way, for your sake too, that there was some way to simplify some of this process so we could do it. So today we decide this. Okay, next month that didn't work, so we decide this. That's not the way government works. You know what I mean? Let's wish that this was out here. You know what I mean? And then, but the reality is, it may never get to that point. That's the reality of what the comprehensive plan is. Some of the stuff is written there, what, how many years ago?
Right. Well, you always
like to be able
look
to adjust
20 years out.
To be more realistic, I guess is what I'm saying. So.
Right. Right. And one of the things that occurred to me when you mentioned the ordinances, one of the things we were talking about in-house that we don't cover in our ordinances and we probably should, and you know, everything we put in our ordinance has to be in the comprehensive plan or at least addressed in some way so it's consistent, is energy, renewable energy sources, solar, and you know, we talked about the windmills in here, but solar was nowhere mm-hmm. on the horizon at this point in time, so how do we handle solar?
The windmills were a hotbed topic at that
They
time.
Were a hotbed,
yep.
hotbed, but we had never considered the
solar. And everything else, and now.
But you're right about the solar. I mean, that's...
Yeah, and it's a big issue
across
the state because it's one thing to put solar on your house. It's another thing to have large industrial-sized solar fields.
50 acre. This one that's over there now, 50 acres. Yeah.
There's one in Kent County that's in court right now, and it's 300 acres. There are large ones out there. So how do you handle industrial solar in your policies? How does it fit?
Be some kind of legislation on solar too, because
I'm
right
sure.
now it falls under the same category as the wind turbines and other things, which takes away a lot of the local authority.
Mm-hmm.
And the solar farms are kind of a different. I
right.
mean, some counties are looking at having an ordinance that says you can't convert agricultural land to solar, or I heard one county say they're considering something that if you put an acre into solar, then you have to put 2 acres into a conservation easement or something like that. It's all kinds of stuff going around.
All kinds of stuff, yeah.
And nobody, the farmers, of course, aren't crazy with anybody telling them how they can use their land. So, but your point about solar is a good one. That is probably something that should be in there. But I think as far as the scope of what we have to do, the last time you did it, you were in a much weaker position than we are today as far as the base. That's my opinion anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, we have all the elements required by law. So even if we don't do anything, we still meet the requirements of the law by having all the elements that are needed.
Well, that's better. Out there right now, there's about 30 residents there on Four Mile Ridge that are going to sue the Four Mile Ridge wind turbines.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, that's coming. Everything's already in place.
Mm-hmm. Does everybody have a copy of the comprehensive plan?
Yep.
You do not? Okay, come on over.
I'd recommend that you get a hard binder and get some popcorn, read it, whatever.
It is online too. Yeah, so you can download it or read it online. But yeah, I have extra copies.
It's
so.
Already on the website, right?
Yeah. Bring a friend, whatever.
Now, what about the updates when we're doing these tiers and stuff? That's not going to be in there.
No, that's not in there. No. So we'll file that in the clerk's office and it'll be there. But until we do an update, that's not. It's kind of something that we kind of tack on and print it out and you put it in here and you carry it around with you, but that's how we handle it until you do a new one.
So next month we will be trying to give answers on which way we're going to go. That's what, so everybody think about what you feel like is, and hopefully you'll give us some insight in what you feel like are the, and Jim, if you have any like solar power or whatever.
Yeah, so I'll make a list of issues that I see that probably should be addressed in the comprehensive plan.
Now, are you going to send those out before the next meeting?
I can.
If you have them ready, go ahead and send them out.
Probably put a note to bring, tell Debbie to put a note in there for, tell us to bring her comprehensive plan when this next month.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Tony, what do you think next meeting? We'll just go over some of the issues we think are going
to
happen.
I think we need to look at.
Be ready, at least that'll be our start.
Right. Because I think Debbie, Bill and them have an idea of what needs to be looked at on their end. Mm-hmm. We have probably all of us. I mean, like I said, when you read that, the comprehensive plan, you get a headache right about here. But the point is, there are things that are really old, I guess is the way of putting it. You know what I mean? And it's things we need to adjust, in my opinion.
Okay.
So we need a list of updates and a list of changes?
Yeah, cause what happens, it's like what's happened to this board. Just every board changes in time. You know, when Troy was here, and then before that, everybody, and Bill, you were on the zoning board back when it was adopting those regs and stuff like that. The point is, these people, we do this over such long periods of time. And in that long period of time, I mean, you know yourself in business world today, everything's done just like that. So we're governed by being behind. And you probably learned that the hard way right now, but if you watch it, you go, okay, I have four houses for sale. I can get that out to 500 people. It takes up 2 years to do a comprehensive plan. You understand? That's kind of what I'm looking at. If there's some way to, and by the time we get to two, and I'll be incredible, by the time 2 years is up, some of the stuff we started talking about 2 years ago has changed to the point where, so if you don't do it, say if you don't do it, say something changed, we need to do it, look at it and do an addendum right at that point. So not 9, 10 months down the road, we can say things have changed. That's doing it, because we go to a public hearing anytime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doing an addendum and change it while we're in real time instead of doing something and come back 2 years later and do it all again. That's what I'm looking at.
I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that it's a plan.
Right.
And there's an old saying in the Army, the first casualty in every battle is a plan.
Right.
You
know, so,
I mean.
And Debbie's right in the sense, and Troy's right. There are ordinances and stuff that affect the day-to-day operation of our government. But. On the other hand, it's like a relic in certain ways that, you know, there's things that we could tweak and make better. I think I'd like to talk about countywide zoning. Did you say there's more traction getting for countywide zoning? Is that what you're saying?
There have been a number of calls for it. I think there was a letter to the editor, wasn't there, about it a couple times, and then there was some social media talk and.
See, I still have a concern about our declining population, economic engine. I keep saying we're live and die by Deep Creek in a lot of ways, but we need to find some way to get things moving again, and I think that's important too.
I personally think one of the biggest challenges we face is our demographics. I mean, it's a big challenge. It's going to drive business growth and workforce and taxpayers and everything else. So,
I'll tell you, I don't have anybody positioning that right now. It's tough. Anything else? Anybody else have anything to say? I hate to ramble on, but
if I could, I should have probably mentioned. Did you have something, Paul? I should have mentioned that I think it was Monday. We the Board of County Commissioners approved the sale of 15 acres in the Kaiser Roots Business Park to grow Western Maryland. It's a medicinal cannabis marijuana operation. They're buying 15 acres at I think it was $35,000 an acre. So they want to get started as soon as they can. They're going to build roughly, I think it's 44,000.
46,000 square feet.
That's probably with the office space too.
Yeah, so it looks like kind of a greenhouse thing. Pretty neat.
Yeah, they're trying to. They want to be in a position to produce their first crop this coming spring. So it's going to be. I'm not sure they know what the weather's like at Kaiser's Ridge. Although the people that won this provide. It's interesting. They provide snow removal services for the Pentagon and for Dulles Airport. So in terms of
no comparison.
Well, but in terms of the equipment and
the wind doesn't blow up there either.
No.
Yeah.
They throw a lot of salt on those places too. If we could, when we're finished, if I could keep everybody in place. We on Monday also awarded the certificates for the Gear County's most beautiful. And Bill wasn't here, and I have his certificate and his grand prize. So if I could get a minute more finished just to read his certificate and present it to him, I'd appreciate it.
Nobody has anything else. I adjourn this meeting. Have at it.
I was told you know about this. Did you know that we were going to do this?
What, today?
Yeah.
Not today.
Jim, you want him to stand?
Yeah, he should stand.
Hey, Bill, please stand.
Attention.
Or do about 20 push-ups. So, as I mentioned, we gave the, this is a process we go, that kind of goes through every year. There's a panel of, I think, four or five people that accept nominations. They then evaluate those nominations. And it's a, I think it's a compliment to each.